Welcome to the Beers and Ears Podcast. Here are your hosts, Casey Woolley and Matthew Brown.
Together again. Gee, it's good. Good to be together again. I just can't imagine that you've ever been gone. It's not starting over, it's just going on.
I'm not going to try to sing along because I tried and we were not together.
No, and I don't even know if I was singing the right lyrics. I don't know if I had the right tone or not. I was looking at them. Hi, everybody. Welcome into the Beers and Ears Podcast. Matt, it has been probably a month since we've talked. Because the last episode we had was the 4-year anniversary episode, and that was kind of conducted where I did one part, you did another part, and then we mashed them together, right? It's been a minute. Between you had some sickness in the house for the last couple of weeks. We had Easter kind of mix in there as well. Yeah. I was away on a trip for a minute. So it's been kind of a crazy time the last month or so.
Yeah, we'll talk more about our schedule here at the end of the episode because that's the boring stuff. What I really need to hear about, forget the intro. Just how was your trip? Trip I want to hear about.
So as everyone may or may not know, Nate and I went to Walt Disney World last month, the 12th through the 19th. It was actually a pretty sizable amount of time. I wanted to be able to take advantage of using my annual pass one more time before it either expired or before I renewed it. So I could say I had already gotten enough use out of it that it paid for itself, but I wanted to be able to say I really got, value out of this thing. Right. So we went down, did something a little bit different. I got a really great rate at a deluxe resort. So, we've talked on this pod any number of times that, does the resort really matter if it's just a place to lay your head? Matt, you've even said that you won't even spring for a preferred room. You just, it doesn't matter to you, right?
Yeah, no, none of that.
But I think when you've gone enough, and I think of the two of us, obviously I've gone a lot more than you have. Not that you don't know the parks, but I go a lot. I mean, yeah. I try to get down 2 or 3 times a year when I can. You start to appreciate why the higher level resorts have been built. And so I got a really, really great travel agent rate on Animal Kingdom Lodge. And I can officially say I've stayed at every value resort. I've stayed at All Star Movies, All Star Music, All Star Sports, Art of Animation, Pop Century. I've stayed at all moderate resorts except for Caribbean Beach, which ironically is the one that I send my clients to the most because it's just such a great resort.
Yeah.
But I haven't, it's hard to get rate or get travel agent rates there because it's such a good resort. But I had not stayed at a deluxe resort. My first deluxe resort was Disneyland in October. And I was like, oh man, this Animal Kingdom Lodge rate was fantastic. And I just couldn't pass it.
It was too good to pass up.
It really was. And I booked it. We got really cheap flights down. I kind of booked my dates around what United was offering for cheap flights. Anyway, we decided to do 3 days in the parks. We were down there for 6 days. Five nights, 6 days. I decided to do 3 days in the parks. Nate already had one leftover cast member park hopper that had been given to me a couple years ago that was going to expire. So we got to use that. So I had to buy him 2 days worth of tickets, which was nice. But here's what I liked about the deluxe resorts. First of all, they're indoors. So when you think of outdoor, like all the resorts that are value, with the exception of Art of Animation, the Art of Animation suites are indoors like Cars, but all the other value resorts, you're kind of like in a motel type environment.
Yeah.
Deluxe resorts, you're in a hotel. I mean, you are truly in a resort. They're massive. And when I didn't realize that, I know Animal Kingdom Lodge was on the safari, but I didn't really realize it's literally surrounded by the savannah. I mean, it's like everywhere you look on property, you're swimming, there are flamingos 100 feet away from you kind of thing. Like that's how, how close they are.
It's really cool.
It really is. And we didn't even have a savannah room. We just had a resort view room. But the savannah, there's rocking chair areas. You can sit out and watch the giraffes and the wildebeest. And it's really kind of cool, to be surrounded by that. The rooms are bigger. They're more luxurious. We had a balcony. But yeah, we had a really good time and we picked a great date to go. It was right in between when most schools had gone to spring break and before the next wave. Like we were
Yeah.
right in the middle. So like we got in that Thursday and we Thursday. So we went to Disney Springs and kind of hung out. Friday was a park day. It was Magic Kingdom for us. And it was pretty busy that Friday. Saturday, we didn't do a park at all. I actually popped over to Animal Kingdom for a couple of hours while Nate worked on some stuff. That was busy. But then Sunday, it's like the energy just left. Everybody was gone. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, there was nobody in the parks at that point. Like it was complete. I mean, they were literally Magic Kingdom were walk-ons. That's how crazy it
Wow.
was on pretty much everything. Space
It's
Mountain was
crazy that if you like
30
time it
minutes.
right, you can like just have a day that the park is just empty.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing new has really like popped up since I was there in October. Nate got to experience Moana, the Journey of Water, which is nice. There's not a line. You can just walk right through it, which is wonderful. We did try a couple of restaurants. We did the crepe place over in Epcot, over in Paris, which was fun. We did BOMA again, which is always really good.
Oh,
Actually,
yeah.
having BOMA while you're on proper, while you're at the resort is pretty nice. You can just walk right over, which was great. We did a Trattoria Al Forno, I believe is what it is, over at the boardwalk for
Oh,
dinner one night, which
yeah.
was fantastic. So we just kind of, it was, this was a different trip. This was, we've talked about when you go enough, you don't have to run. Like when you're down there, you're trying to maximize your time and it's like a once every 4 or 5 year trip, totally get it. And I will help you plan that trip. This was a, yeah, we'll walk around, we'll hit some of the smaller stuff. If we get a bigger one, awesome. Like we got Guardians, the day that we went to Epcot, we got that. It was a little bit later of a boarding group. Tron, however, we got like a really early boarding group. And by the time they called our number, we weren't even in the park yet. Like we were just waking up. So we ended up giving that up. And then we were, by that point, we were in the park and we did the 1 o'clock reservation and we were able to get on about five. So
Okay,
we still
it's
got
not bad.
on. Yeah. But yeah, so overall, I would say it's fantastic. I feel like Disney, and we're going to move to this next topic here in a minute, is kind of in this like status quo moment where just nothing's happening. And you see this storm front called Epic Universe on the horizon. And it's Disney. Yes, you've built some amazing attractions in the last 8 years, but what have you done for me lately? Like that's kind of like where people's mindset's at right now. So, but overall, it was a fantastic trip. Yeah, I thought
Yeah,
Animal
I mean,
Kingdom was
I
just
do
wonderful. So.
think even if you're going every 4 to 5 years, or even your once in a lifetime trip, I wouldn't discount the taking a day at the resort or taking it easy. Like almost in certain cases, like if you're doing the once in a lifetime big trip, take a day that's halftime. That, like you said, you stay at a resort. Like if you're at the Animal Kingdom house, that resort. Like if you're swimming next to flamingos and you can sit and watch giraffes, like that's an attraction in and
Is
itself.
absolutely, absolutely,
Yeah, and can
and with
really.
Disney and with Disney's new promotion that they've got starting next year, they're giving you the day of your check-in a 3 day at the water park.
Oh, nice.
So,
That's right. I did hear that. The water parks are where
yeah.
it's at.
Yeah. So, beginning next year, when you check in, your check-in day, you can go and visit Typhoon Lagoon or Blizzard Beach. So that right there, like you've got your first day. You don't have to use that as a park day. I think that's a brilliant move. It costs Disney absolutely nothing. It gets them over to the vastly underused water parks. And there's merchandise shops over there and food shops over there. So it legitimately costs them nothing to do this, but it does provide a lot of value for the
Yeah, and
guests.
let's be clear, like I'm all the times that I've gone when I was a kid, we did a day at the water parks. And
Yeah.
there it you definitely don't feel like, "Oh man, I'm really losing out or not getting the Disney magic." It's a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Like they're well themed and they're well themed and they're especially like Blizzard Beach. I love the theming of that where it's like this like ski resort that's a water park in summer. Like it's super cool. So I definitely take advantage of those.
So That's a good transition, I think, into, I mean, literally in the month that we have been without talking to each other, like Disney, there's been so much information that has come out or has been published online. I don't even have the full list, but like we can start with one that was probably close to when we last recorded together, which was they released some of the animatronics videos of Tiana's Bayou Adventure, specifically of Tiana. They released. They have since released even more. They've released some of the names of the critters. Imagineers have been testing the ride. The signage is up. They announced that the ride should be ready by summer. I'm just waiting for them to announce pass holder previews, and then boom, it's before you know it, it's here.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, Splash Mountain's a beloved attraction between both of us. What do you think of the attract or the animatronics, man?
I mean, I love these new animatronics. I love that they've gotten away from the face projection mapping and that they've really gone to this, like, it is so realistic. I mean,
It
like the
is.
Mama Odie one, I had to
I
like
was gonna
stop for a
say,
second.
yes, it
And
looked like a real
it
person.
looked like a real person.
It really did. It really did.
But yeah, it looks like what I love about it is that they're definitely not skimping on,
Yeah.
like, because I mean, you're talking, I've seen two different Tianas, a Charlotte, a Lewis, and a Mama Odie,
And then some critters as
and then
well.
some critters, and that's just what we've seen.
Yeah, there, I guess there was online, there was a screenshot of the whiteboard behind one of the Imagineers in this new video that they put out that showed the names of the different attractions or animatronics we're supposedly going to see. I know there's a Naveen in there. I am a little disappointed we won't see a Dr. Facilier. At least that's not on
Yeah.
the dry erase board. But as people have pointed out, the timeline for this is after the events of the movie. So it does make sense. But I still think we're going to get some of his essence there. I it would it, especially when you think about where Splash Mountain is and the, you know, when you're in that scene, but right before the big drop, like
Yeah.
that to me could make a lot of sense there.
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement there. I mean, I'm on record saying I'm really excited for this. Like,
Same.
even no theming, the ride is fun. So
Yeah.
if you just removed the theming and just was like, here's a boring log flume ride, I
Yes.
still would have a good time. And
Yeah.
then just now you're gonna theme it up, and I'm team change. I am like, I don't like, honestly, I do not think there is something, and I can say I don't like the change,
Yep.
but I'm not gonna be upset at a change.
Agreed. And you know, we were there last month and we were on Big Thunder Mountain and it was just starting to get a little bit close to sunset. I got some amazing pictures of Splash Mountain from Big Thunder. Like it looks good. And there again, Nate and I were talking about this, that Disney fans are some of the most toxic fans I have ever encountered. The only ones who kind of rival Disney fans are, you know, you got Star Wars fans, which are a subsect of Disney fans, sports fans, and I'm a big Survivor fan, and Survivor fans are toxic too. It's just absolutely crazy. But like the amount of people, I mean, there's this one guy in one of the Facebook groups that I belong to who keeps posting just side by side images without getting, he goes, no comment needed, as though like the image of the old version and the new version is not. Like, I don't know. Like, dude, things change. Even Walt said that like that we will never be finished. Disneyland will always be evolving,
Well, and
you
here's the
know?
thing. I would love it if less people went on that ride. I will happily
Yes.
wait less time to be on that ride. You
Yes.
don't have to ride
Now,
it.
what I will say, and this kind of maybe moves us to our next point, there is some merit to the criticism of Disney. You can only retheme or refurbish or remodel rides for so long. You do, truthfully, Disney, have a major capacity problem. A major capacity problem. And maybe a fifth gate is not the answer because there's a lot of money involved with that.
Yeah.
But expansion of your parks is absolutely something you need to start thinking about. Because even when Disney used to be, quote, slow, those days, I mean, are absolutely ob obnoxious. The week before we went, that was spring break. I don't know if you saw some of the attraction times for
Yeah.
super, like, I think the teacups last week was like 120 minutes for the
Yeah,
teacups.
for like stuff that shouldn't, like, if you're like 120 minutes for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, I'm like, ah, I get it.
Maybe, but dang, man,
Yeah,
like,
teacups is, I
holy.
mean, it well, and it's because Test Track just got, you know, hey, it's going through another, you know, retheme.
Test Track's going to go down as of June 17th for a retheme, whatever that's going to be. So now you're losing that capacity in Epcot. And I would say of all the parks, Epcot probably can absorb the most right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we were pretty much, with the exception of Ratatouille, we were pretty much walk on everything. But Animal Kingdom is set to lose Dinosaur.
Yeah.
And again, while Dinosaur is not the most thrilling ride in the world, still one of my favorites, you've already got a park with less than a double digit count of attractions, and you're bringing this thing down. Now, again, I'm excited for the Indiana Jones redo, and I'm excited for the, I think they're calling it the South Americas or Tropical Americas kind of
Yeah.
area. I'm very excited about that. Encanto, I get it. For me, it's a good movie, but it's not like I'm not beating down the door to get into something Encanto by any means.
I think what they're turning it into, like from what I've heard, the rumors I have heard, again, this is all rumor, is that they're wanting to make it like a domestic Mystic Manor.
I've heard that
And if you've
too.
seen that ride, that actually makes a lot of sense to me, and I think would be really fun.
And again, I'm totally on board with that, but why do you have to pull down an existing attraction to do that? Leave the existing area for now
Yeah.
while the other stuff. The other thing is like there's a lot of other great fun stuff out there that are at some of these international parks, like Zootopia. There was rumors for years that Zootopia could potentially find its way to Animal Kingdom. It would work in Animal Kingdom.
And clearly they have the concept, because the pictures and videos of that are like, this looks like a fun land to be a part of.
The other one would be, you know, the pirates over in Shanghai. Like there's some rumors floating around that we could potentially see some of that technology come over to our domestic pirates of the Caribbean. Maybe, possibly, maybe not. I don't know. Disney, I saw a post online, a satirical post online the other day that says we need a new term other than blue sky. We need to call it purple sky. This is stuff that Disney releases to make the fans feel good and the shareholder pricing go up, but they have no intention of ever actually doing it.
Well, and I
And
do think that, like, to your point though, all this refurbishment, okay, cool. If they were to bring in pirates, you know, like all this technology, that's awesome. You're still not solving the problem, which is you need more newer stuff.
Quit building hotels and build some stuff that eats capacity. That's your
And
problem
it
right
doesn't
now.
have to be. I think the key is, yes, attractions are a thing, but like this Moana, A Journey of Water, is a perfect example. It, it's
Yes.
it's an attraction that isn't like, it's not a ride, and but it just eats people. I mean, I know Paris has this, where like there's an Alice in Wonderland maze through the hedges, and it's not, it's it just, you just go through it.
This is one of the reasons why I think Epcot is able to absorb as much as it does, is because they've got the continual festivals going on.
Yeah.
We were there, Flower and Garden was going on, and we were doing booth to booth. We went to the Butterfly Garden, which, you know, there's no queue for that. You just walk in, kind of look around. We spent 20 minutes in there. That killed
Yeah.
some 20 minutes of time. There's the Orange Bird little kiosk area, which is a lot of fun. Again, Epcot's got, I know when you think of Epcot, you think of the major attractions, right? You think of, okay, you got Guardians of the Galaxy, you got Ratatouille, you got Frozen Ever After, and you got Soarin', and you got Test Track. But then there's some smaller stuff out there that, if you are willing to do it, can also eat your time. Living with Land, right?
Oh, Living with the Land. Love it.
Well, yeah, Living with Land.
Grand Fiesta Tour is that?
Grand Fiesta Tour, you've also got the Figment ride. Matt, I'm going to say something for a second here.
Uh-oh.
We went on Journey into Your Imagination again for the first time in several years. It is not as bad as people make it out to be. It is not
It
as bad as people
I
make it out
will
to be.
okay, let me say let me
I
yeah.
legitimately enjoyed it.
Let me say objectively, in a vacuum, I agree. It is, I fully admit, it is because of the nostalgia that I have for the original and because I have knowledge of the original that I don't like this one as much. But
I've never seen the original, to me it's actually a decent ride. Like it's not one that's going to be an award winner by any means, but there's a lot of fun. You know, there's Wayne Szalinski, there's the dude from the Flubber Doctor. You know, you're able to kind of like it created a metaverse or a shared universe before shared universes were even a thing, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. We went on that one. We had a good time. There's the Pixar Short Film Festival over there if you want to do that. Again, you said Grand Fiesta Tour. There's also the Circle Vision 3D attractions and the multiple world pavilions. There's the we went to the American pavilion. We were going to watch the show. Well, while we were waiting, there's the Liberty Choir, Sons of Liberty or Voices of Liberty, which performed right in the vestibule live for us. That was 30 minutes. So I think.
But what you're talking about is exactly the key. You don't necessarily need, and this is where I think Disney could get more creative. And yes, they've kind of, you know, taken some of this stuff. You need other stuff just going on.
Yes.
Because that's what I mean. Why is the castle show so great? Because the amount of people that are just passing by and stop, it eats people.
Yeah, I, you know, that Disney's cut out like the citizens of Hollywood.
Yeah.
They've cut down on the Magic Kingdom citizens. You know, I'm so happy to see that the Jameters are in Epcot though. So like to me, like it's working in Epcot. Why isn't it? Why can't you do things like that at some of the other parts? Animal Kingdom's got some of them. They got Divine. They've got Kevin Comes Around. They got the Bird Show, which is fun.
Yeah.
But like, you could even do some stuff midday, a couple hours. You know, I know they'll bring the characters out on the boats on the river there. But like, do a little simple show out there or something, and just bring people to the bleachers to suck some of that capacity out. Animal Kingdom suffers because there's no midday parade.
Yeah.
There's no Cavalcade. Nothing.
There's nothing. And really, from a standpoint of a lot of your big attraction, this is the problem that I've always had with Animal Kingdom living where I live, where I have the Milwaukee County Zoo north of me, and I've got Chicago zoos around me. I've got an aquarium that is one of the Shedd Aquariums, one of the best aquariums in the world. And so, like, when I go to Animal Kingdom, seeing animals is like, I can do this at home.
Yeah.
So, whereas now, again, granted, if you were, you know, not around a great zoo, this might be, you know, more of a attraction for you. But you're right. Like, I mean, what? It's a couple of e-ticket attractions, well, and that's pretty much
thing,
it.
The other thing, though, that like Disney was doing for a while, probably 5, 6, 8 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago at this point, they had a lot more character interactions out there,
yeah,
a lot more character spots. And somewhere along the line, they pulled those back again. And maybe it was COVID related or whatever. But like Disney, there is very much a demand for some of your lower profile or harder to find characters. Get the Kingdom Hearts Mickey inside of Hollywood Studios for a weekend. Bring back Star Wars weekend. There's a lot of things that you can do. It just feels like
just make Disney more character spots. Like,
yeah,
I get it that you don't want them just roaming around like you do in Disneyland. That's fine. But again, you want to eat people up?
Yes.
Characters.
Well, I'll give the example. This was back in 2017. I did my first ever alone trip, and I was at Magic Kingdom on my own midday, and I was walking over the bridge into Adventureland, and sure as crap, right off to the right there, Rafiki walks out. Rafiki in Magic Kingdom Adventureland. He's got a handler. He's just come out. They're getting ready to line people up. I happen to hop in line. I get pictures with Rafiki holding my little Rafiki Zoom Zoom at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Random encounter. Hollywood Studios with my mom. This was 2016. Randomly out and about. I'm over there probably. I think it's over by the Little Mermaid exhibit over there. There's a character entrance. And sure as heck, who comes out? Max from Goof Troop. random character encounter. Like, did not expect that. We're in Magic Kingdom one day, my mom and I, and Mary Poppins is up on the train station. Random encounter. Now, you don't have to make them random. Just tell people where they're going to be at. People will line up for these things. People are, I think people's willingness to wait for characters, some like the basic characters, extends to 30 minutes. I think people will wait 30 minutes, maybe even 40, for especially for characters they really love.
Yeah.
Others will probably walk by. I mean, there's times I'll see Chip and Dale have a wait of probably 40 minutes. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to wait for Chip and Dale. But like, okay, fine. But figure out a way to eat up some of that capacity, guys, if you're not going to build additional attractions.
Yeah, because I get it. Like, you know, again, the easy answer is fifth gate. And, you know, oh, look, Universal's doing it. Why don't you do it? That is expensive. That is time consuming. There's a lot that goes into that. I totally get it. Even I would say like adding on a new land. Like I know that, you know, I get it. But I do think that some of it right now, they're clearly preparing for D23. And they're gonna drop a bunch of stuff at D23 because you have to make that worth it. Like that in it itself has to be something that is worth it.
And they have been teasing. So that kind of, and that's a good segue into our next point. So in the time since we've been away, Iger and the board have held off what was basically going to be a hostile takeover of the company. And the rumor was, had this been a success, they would have sold the company off into parts and pieces, basically, right? So that's been held off. Enough people, and it wasn't even close, by the way. Bob Iger won hands down, like hands down, and it was very clear that people do have faith in his leadership. Now, he was questioned at the shareholder meeting. Why aren't they doing anything to combat Epic Universe? And I want to get your take on how he answered, Matt, because I know how I feel about it, but I want to get your take. So I can't quote it exactly, but basically to summarize what Bob said, well, we've known about Epic Universe for the better part of 10 years now. And in that time we have built, and he went on to basically as far back as Avatar back in 2017 to list off all of the different attractions and new stuff that Disney has done over the course of basically a decade to be ready for the Epic Universe theme park. What's your take on that response? Is that good? Is that bad? Do you buy it? Is it real? What do you think?
I mean, I do think that when you do think of how much Disney has done, I think we're so much like prisoners of the moment where like Avatar is a perfect example. We think Avatar's old news, yet that's a really new part of the park. Yeah, like, it's incredibly new.
And it's not just the Flight of Passage. You've got Rivers of Light over there too.
Yeah.
That's two full attractions and a whole land.
Yeah. So I mean
less than 8 years ago.
Yeah, less than 8 years ago, they did put up a whole new land and they did remake Fantasyland and they did, you know, it like so I do think there's some fairness in that.
Yeah, I would agree. Because and there's also, you know, when you think about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, they built two attractions there, one that's not as reliable as we would like it to be, but they've also got the full land and they built it in two different parks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You got pretty much the best ride on property at this point, Guardians of the Galaxy. You've got Tron over in Magic Kingdom.
You got Toy Story Land came up.
It's funny. Yeah, Toy Story Land. I wonder if we were to go back in some of our episodes 4 years ago, I swear we were having conversations about how Disney was on a roll. There was so much stuff coming in and oh my God, it just feels like there's always construction going on, da 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 da. And then now it's like, boom, we're stopped. But you're right. I think it's easy to take for granted what we've had.
Well, and especially because, so, I mean, you're looking at someone who I haven't seen Galaxy's Edge yet. So
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So,
haven't seen Galaxy's Edge. You've seen Tron. No, you haven't seen Tron. You've seen Guardians.
I've seen Guardians. Yes.
But you haven't seen Galaxy's Edge.
Because when I was
Edge,
down there last,
Tron.
We did an Epcot Magic Kingdom Epcot. Day. It was just the one day.
And Tron wasn't open yet.
Yeah. And so, like for me, going down next time is going to be super duper exciting because there is going to be a whole new land for me to explore. Yeah. And so, you know, there is some where, you know, people are constantly wanting the fix for the new thing. And whenever you are trying to compare, yes, technically there is the competitor is building up a whole nother gate, but that's tough to compare against. Now, I do think that Disney might see some residual effects of that people people are going to go towards, especially considering the popularity of some of those properties.
I think when I think about it a little bit, the fourth gate concept that Epic's going to have, that can be a double-edged sword, mm-hmm. right? So yeah, they've got a fourth gate. There's going to be a lot of new stuff in one park, but you got to pay for it. You got to pay for the fourth gate. So right now, a park-to-park, two-park ticket, one-day park-to-park ticket for Universal Studio or Universal Orlando runs about $250. I think it was $244 when I looked at it for when we were down there, right? So $244 for a one-day park-to-park, two-park ticket, right? By all estimates, and again, I don't have inside knowledge on this, but everything I've looked at on Google and just doing a little bit of research about what we think a three-park park-to-park ticket might cost for like a, you know, one day or two. Like, I think I estimated a two-day three-park park-to-park ticket for the three of those parks, not including Volcano Bay, $600 a person.
I mean, that's going to be the key, is that it's going to cost more
for 2 days.
Like,
yeah.
there's going to be more. I agree with you. That's a double-edged sword.
So when you think, when you see what Disney's got and they're adding to their existing park bases, that can be a value for the guest, right? That's the value for the client. The other thing to think about is Epic Universe, while it's going to be great, I think we're looking at just over double-digit attractions for that park, right? I mean, I think Super Nintendo World's going to have three. How to Train Your Dragon's going to probably have three. Monsters, I think, has two. And then Harry Potter has two, maybe three. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And they haven't even announced for sure what's in every one. But if you think about that, that's just over double digit for that park, right? So it's going to be the new flashy thing on the block for a year or two. And I'm very excited to sell that stuff to clients and get them in to experience it. But at the same regard, you're right. I take for granted everything that Disney's done because I've been there numerous times. But someone like you, there's plenty of stuff that you have not experienced yet.
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff I got to do. And I think there's plenty of room in their existing parks. Like, they could put up another country in Epcot. You know, the infamous behind Thunder Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain.
Which now there's more art now, apparently.
Yeah.
And there seems to, I have a feeling we're going to hear more about that at D23.
Yeah. So I think,
of course, Disneyland has got this Disneyland Forward thing that it sounds like the Anaheim Council has approved.
Yeah. So, I mean, so, Disneyland's got like this pseudo, like, not third gate, but like half gate thing.
That's the other thing. It's like, you know, when we think about how big Disney is domestically, right? Disney has four theme parks, two water parks on the East Coast, two theme parks on the West Coast. Universal has two theme parks on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, and a water park. Like, they're by half, they're less than what Disney pretty much has. And again, Universal Studios Hollywood was a lot of fun. It was. Oh, yeah. We got it done in 3/4 of a day. It was a good time. But there is something distinctly Disney. It's distinctly different about Disney.
I'm coming around a little bit on. I think maybe I've been a little bit too critical of Disney because I'm just wanting. Part of it is stuff that I want to see and I'm not seeing. And I know that some of Disney was all messed up with the whole Iger leaving, Chapek coming in, then Chapek leaving, and then Iger coming back in, and then all this, you know, Reedy Creek news.
COVID, Reedy Creek, the election, politics got in there. And it sounds like, I think the word that comes to mind when I think Iger is stability at this point. I feel like he's come in and he's stabilized. Like, he's come in and even like his response the other day, which I thought was interesting, which was this idea of about being woke, and he's like, no one really knows what that word means. We're just here to make good movies. We're here to make good movies. We're here to entertain. Like
I liked
it
that
was
response.
Almost, it was almost like he was just like, dude, just stop with the theatrics. Stop with the dramatics. Like, let's just get back to a point to where we can appreciate Disney for what Disney is.
Well, and I like, you know, too, that he's admitted where the company has missed a little bit. And yeah. that's like, there's something about that, that I do want the CEO of whatever company to be like, yeah, we kind of whiffed on this. We thought yeah. that this was going to be a thing and it wasn't. And so now we got to figure out how we move forward from here.
And, you know, you and I've talked in this pod several times about different things that they could do to bring value back into some of the trips. This water park thing's a great example of that.
Yeah.
Again, it tremendous value to the client. If they get in early enough, you know, 11, 12, 1 o'clock, they can go spend a half a day at a water park for free. Why wouldn't you? They take advantage of that? Like,
yeah.
that has become a huge selling point for me when talking to clients about next trips next year. Right. You know, they really, yes, the 2025 pricing has come out for hotels, but ticket prices haven't really gone up all that much. They're not mm-hmm. crazy expensive. They kind of held. Annual passes, knock on wood, have not gone up yet, which is good. I think, you know, and they're making major announcements, $60 billion in the next 10 years being invested. That's a lot of money. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And see, so, yeah, I think we're going to get some D23 is going to be interesting to listen to.
And speaking of D23, clearly there's a demand for what Disney's going to do. It sold out. I don't know if you saw this, the article I read, it sold out in record time. Last year, it took 28 days to sell out. This year, it sold out in 4 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought about trying to do it, but I was like, I don't want to get into the madness. It's just insane. Like, yeah. It's an expensive 3 days to do that. Yeah. And it's not like I'm not going to know what the news is literally simulcast online yeah. as it comes yeah. out.
Exactly.
I just hope it's a little bit more than what they gave us last time.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think they recognize that they need to kind of give it some juice. So I'm excited. I'm excited to hear what they announce. I mean, already they
the ultimate announcement that they could be holding right now is that they've come to an agreement with Universal Comcast that Marvel is exiting their universe and they're going to be making a way over to the East Coast. Like, that would be the ultimate announcement. Gosh. Like, they're going to, we do have a fifth park in mind and it's Marvel Superhero Island or something like that. Like, could you, it's the Marvels. Like, could you imagine how awesome that would be? Like, that right now, granted, we won't see it for 20 years, but it would be fantastic. Yes.
But yeah, I mean, they just solidified their movie schedule. Like, that just came out. Like, here's when everything's coming out. And so they've got that all solidified. So it seems like
see that piece of art of the new Moana.
Yeah.
It looks fantastic. Yeah. That animation, that art.
The only thing that I do not understand, and I will continue to aggressively say, what is the point of this, is live action Moana coming out. Like,
so the rumors that I'm hearing on that are they pushed it back. And it's going to just silently fall off the schedule is what we think is going
to
happen.
That's what needs to happen. Because, okay, you're bringing back the same actors and actresses to do the part. It's like, yeah. So why are we doing this?
Yeah. They did let go of, I think, the producer, the director, the vice president who was in charge of a lot of those live action remakes. I don't know. I'm not opposed to live action. There's, you know, I'm excited about the new Aladdin that's going to be coming out. I'm excited about the quote live action Mufasa that's going to be coming out. I'm not opposed to it, but one that literally was out less than a decade ago, you're creating a live action for, makes absolutely no sense.
With the exact same people. It's like, why are we doing this? Like, what?
It's being seen for the money grab that it is. Speaking of money, not so much money, but ratings. Did you see that? Wish is getting some fans, some popularity since it's been released on Disney Plus.
I saw a Twitter post that was like, Wish is getting more positive views now that it's on Disney Plus. I'm like, oh, yes. Is it? Oh, it's almost like it's a good movie.
Exactly. And it is a great movie.
It is. I watched it again yesterday with my kids. And I'm like, this is a good movie. Is it the greatest movie of all time? No.
And
is it good?
Speaking
yes.
of Disney Plus, have you seen the merge that's been happening now? You have Disney Plus. You can watch Hulu on Disney Plus. It's almost like the people in charge listen to the Beers and Ears podcast and what we had to say about just getting it onto one platform.
And I will there's been quite a lot of good stuff coming out on Disney Plus as of late. I've been like actually watching a lot of original content and there's some stuff that's popped up that's been really good.
I'm
impressed.
I've got to dig in a little bit to see, okay, I've got Hulu. Do I just get Disney Plus and then do I get Hulu with that? And if that's the case, I might as well
like
switch
what is,
over to Disney Plus.
Economically,
like
what does that
what does that make sense for? So, but All right. Well, I think that covers it for news, Matt, as far as I can think of right now. So we want to transition here. So I want to talk about the elephant in the room for a second, the Dumbo in the room, if you will. So obviously we started the show with the fact that Matt and I have not been on a show together in about a month. It's been a minute, right? So when we first started the Beers and Ears podcast, we were literally the first week of lockdown of COVID. Neither of us had a job that we were working at. We were locked in. I looked to this as kind of a partial job for me a little bit, right? And we were doing 2 episodes a week for probably the better part of a year, I want to say, or just over a year. I think we got all the way to our 1 year anniversary. Then life started to happen. We started, we were working and family and everything. And we said after that first year, you know what? Once a week is plenty, right? And
Perfectly
we
fine.
still will have, yeah, we still have our standbys. We've got, we had our Diz Games trivia challenges. We had, our Convince Me's, our movie episodes, all that stuff. And we have created, I mean, close to 300 episodes. I mean, like there's a ton of content that we've created. And I'm proud of it. I'm proud of where it's at and how it looks. I use it in my travel agency and I'm able to give people links to different stuff.
And let us be very clear, for those of you that are dreading maybe what Case about to say, we're not going anywhere, but
No, 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 no,
let's
no.
okay, back to you.
Yeah, no, that no, that's good. I mean, we are not hanging up our microphones. That's not what we're doing. But what we are saying is that there are times where it's just not possible for the two of us to hook up like this. It's just not possible for us, even across Zoom, for us to be able to have a conversation for a half an hour every week. Or is there stuff to cover, right? I mean, we've covered a lot of stuff. I mean, yeah, there's a lot more Disney movies out there, but the way I kind of look at it is, and I think Matt, you probably do too, is like if we're going to cover something, we got to have at least some mild interest in it to be able to talk about it, right? We're not just going to
Otherwise, it
cover
just
something for
kind
the
of
sake of
becomes a, oh, we're
yeah.
just talking about a movie because.
Exactly. So here's what we're saying. We're not going anywhere, but it may not be as regular of a cadence as once a week, right? And there might be some future episodes, as you've heard over the last 6 months or so, where it's just Matt. Matt's talking about something that spiked his interest, or it's just me, and I'm talking about something that, the travel agency or something else, right? And then, occasionally, we're going to try to come together when we can on certain things when it makes sense. Are we able to record this week? What do we want to talk about? We were talking before the show started. Like Disney's kind of in a drought right now when it comes to movies. I think the strike had a big part of that. The parks were kind of in a standstill until D23 comes out. So I think more or less you're going to still hear from us, but it's going to be a little bit less often. Is
We're just
that fair to
and
say?
again, so, and some of that is also just like to pull back the curtain. Like I'm still in the process of selling my house. We had influenza A go through through my entire household. I did not feel like recording.
And vacations and second jobs and children and like next week, I haven't even told Matt yet. I'm not going to be able to record next week because I'm going to Michigan for
Okay, that's good to know.
to see family.
I got an episode idea that I need to get
So, but
somebody.
but but like but like and so yeah. So you're still going to hear from us, but it might be individual. It might be together. We might bring special guests on. That might be the case. So that's just kind of the lay of the land right now. I mean, we're very proud of the podcast we've built, but we don't get paid for this. It's a hobby. It's a way to bring Matt. And I think the other thing I was thinking about on this, Matt, too, is, when we started this was a way for us to continue to bring Disney magic to people. I have found other ways to do that now, and I found ways to do that and get compensated for it too, which is fantastic. So, but anyway. All right. Well, Matt, how did they get a hold of us? If it's closing time, how did they get a hold of us?
You can email us beersandears1928@gmail.com. Facebook, Beers and Ears Podcast are the best ways. You can go to caseywoolley.com if you are looking to plan a vacation. That is Magic Thrills.
Cruises and all-inclusives.
Yes, cruises and all inclusives. So like any like not just Disney vacations. Basically you want to go on vacation, just
I
give.
just booked a trip to somebody going to Virginia Beach, Virginia, the boardwalk over there.
Yeah, just
In the process of booking another sandals trip for somebody, I booked a Disney cruise trip for somebody, a couple who's a listener of the podcast. Hi,
woo.
Francesca. So like, it's not just Disney. I specialize. But speaking of Disney, if you got a Disney Visa card, there's an announcement coming on Tuesday for free dining for July, September, and December. So if you want to go during July, September, or December, and you got a Disney Visa card, whether it's a credit card or a debit card, get free dining.
Sounds like a plan. Yes. And then you can
also Fake Sports Teams as well.
Yes, fakesportsteams.com is we've got the Beers Nears collection. We've got all kinds of fun fake sports teams. All of the team spirit, none of the commitment. That's a way if you do want to financially support us, you can do it that way because we do get a cut of that, considering it's me that runs it. So
you're supporting Matt. You're supporting Matt's small business. That's what you're doing.
Yes,
so
that's what you're supporting.
Do it in his wonderful family.
Exactly. So I think that's it. Let's
awesome. Head on over to Facebook and Beers and Ears Podcast. Instagram at beersears1928. Email us beersandears1928@gmail.com. Of course, everything can be found at sorcerernetwork.com.
Correct.
That's all this magic under one hat. It's been a month, man. It's been a month. So, all right. Well, let's raise our glasses. Both of us have imaginary glasses at our hands.
Yes,
right now.
I'm showing my house. There's nothing around here except my computer and my microphone.
Yes. So let's raise our glasses. This episode has been on us. We will see you again real soon, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.